Junior church is dismissed at this time as well, so if your young one is going to go that way, go ahead. Otherwise, turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Been making our way through the book of Proverbs, and today we get to chapter 9. Have you ever received two invitations? Same day, same time, and you have a decision to make. You know, which invitation are you going to accept? You may have committed to go to a wedding. Your best friend asks you to be in this wedding, and you commit to go to that wedding, to be in the wedding. The next day, you find out that your sibling's getting married on the same day and the same time. What are you going to do? Somebody is not going to be happy with you. You know, there's been times where Carrie and I have received two invitations, same day, same time, where we've been able to go one to one place and the other goes to the other, and you at least have a representation there of your family at both places. But what do you do when you have two invitations and you have to make a decision? You cannot be both places at once. What are you going to do? Well, in Proverbs chapter 9, you have two invitations. I titled this message, You Are Invited. And so follow along. I'm going to read Proverbs 9, 18 verses, and we'll walk through this text this morning. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. That's the first invitation. And then she says, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Here's the second invitation, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather corporately, to open your word, to read your word, to study it. And so, Lord, I pray today that we'd be true to the text, that the interpretation would be correct, that the application would be, that we would apply what we hear to our lives, Lord. We all have invitations. Two invitations in life, in the days of our lives, we receive these invitations. A decision has to be made. So, Lord, I pray today that we would choose the right path, the right way, that you'd be exalted in our response to the word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first of all, let's look at the two different invitations here. The first invitation is Lady Wisdom, and it's wisdom personified. And as we've walked through the book of Proverbs, we've seen that this wisdom that we're talking about is wisdom that comes from God. It's sourced in God. And so wisdom, this wisdom that comes from God, is personified, and we see this invitation from her in these first few verses. First of all, I want you to notice her activity. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread. And so you see in her activity, she's building this large house. If you go back and you look at ancient history, a large house had three pillars. A large, elaborate home would have three pillars. This house has seven pillars. And so this implication here is that this is an extremely large, extremely well-built house. It's an elaborate house. It has plenty of room for all who have been invited. Then we see her prepare this banquet. She's preparing this lavish banquet. Can you see that text all right, or is it too light? I can't change it now, so you might have to just put glasses on. I'm having a hard time seeing it back there. But you see her building her large house. She's preparing this lavish banquet. She slaughtered her meat. At least in our house, Carrie hunts. But then she gets on the phone and she says, hey, I got a deer down. Come and gut it. And I butcher it and she cooks it. But I don't know how that happens. I'm going to try it and see how it works. Hey, I got a deer down. Can you come and gut it? But she has slaughtered her meat. She is out this, and she's industrious. She's a worker. She has built her house. She has hewn out these pillars. She has slaughtered the meat. And again, she has mixed her wine, and there's a couple different views here. She has mixed her wine. Some commentaries I read said it was wine probably mixed with spices, mixed with herbs. The other view is because it was barbaric to consume strong drink in the Old Testament. It was considered barbaric, and so they would water down the wine. It was three parts water, one part wine. I believe that's probably the case here. This wine wasn't to get drunk on. It was just a quality beverage to drink. And so she has mixed her wine. She has slaughtered the meat. She has this choice beverage. The table is set. The table is furnished. It's a furnished table. So she has this table that is, it's all furnished. Everything is laid out. The meat is prepared. The wine is mixed. And then she's issuing an open invitation. It says here, she has sent out her maidens, and she herself cries out from the highest places of the city. Now, you go back to Old Testament cities, there's a big wall. That was the fortress of the city, but houses were built into that wall. And from that wall, you could cry out to the city and to those that are passing by. And so this was an invitation that was given out. The maidens are calling out. And notice who they're calling. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread, drink of my wine. And so this call is to the simple. It's to those who lack understanding. It's a specific people group. And I'm going to touch on this more here in a little bit. But it's an open invitation. The second invitation we have here is the foolish woman. And we look at this foolish woman and look at her invitation. First of all, notice her laziness. The foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on the seat by the high places of the city. So again, she's calling really to the same group of people. She's by the city wall, but she's just sitting outside of her house. And she's sitting there doing nothing. And it's contrast with Lady Wisdom, who's very industrious, who's hewn out the pillars, she's slaughtered the meat. But she's lazy. And she gives this invitation. But look at the invitation here as well. And I'm in verse 13. I'm going to come back to that middle section. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple, knows nothing, sits at the door of her house to call those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Same group of people, right? Same invitation. Both are calling to the simple. Both are calling to those who lack understanding. And so we see her laziness and we see also her imitation. And you know, when I think of the simple, and it says those on the straight who go straight on their way. These are people who have not yet made a decision. Okay, they're straight on their way. They haven't made a decision. Two invitations are going out. And when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of a lot of kids that grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Christian home. I heard the truth. I knew the Bible verses. I heard the Bible stories. I wouldn't even say I was on a straight path because I was in sin and I knew it, but I had not yet made a decision. And maybe you can relate to this if you grew up in a Christian home. Maybe your faith is, it's really not your faith, it's the faith of your parents. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you believe it because mom and dad said it. But at some point, your faith has to become your own, right? You have a decision to make. You have a choice to make because God doesn't have any grandkids. And you either put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can't be saved because your parents are saved. But I think of this straight path. Or how many people today, they have yet to make a decision. They haven't put their faith in Christ. They may not be scoffers and mockers. There's a difference between the simple and naive and the scoffers and the mockers. Have you ever met a scoffer? You try and share the gospel with them and they are. The more you share truth with them, the more vulgar they get, the meaner they get, and they don't want to hear it. And then you have the simple and the naive, someone who just hasn't made a decision yet, and they're open to hear what you have to say. And so, but she's inviting the same group of people. These two women are inviting the same people, but that's where the comparison ends, because the Lady Wisdom is industrious, Lady Folly is slothful, she's seductive, she's morally bankrupt, she offers what is morally prohibited, it's stolen, it must be done in secret. And so you look at these two ladies, you look at her laziness and her imitation. Now look at the two motivations as well. Look at wisdom's motivation in verse 6. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Jump down to verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. And you see her motivation? And her wisdom's motivation, she invites you out of love and out of care and out of concern. She competes for your heart. She competes for the hearts of those who are uncommitted. She wants what's best for you, both now and for eternity. She's competing for your heart. She wants days to be added to your life. You follow her, you respond to her invitation, and you will have life. Where Folly's invitation, and you look at, she invites out of erotic lust. Not love, but lust. And she competes for the bodies of those on the straight path. Wisdom competes for your heart. She competes for your body. She doesn't care about you. In fact, notice the difference in the banquets and in the drink. What does the foolish woman, what's she offering you? Bread and water, right? You go back and you look at the stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Hey, respond to my invitation. Stolen water is sweet and bread offered in secret. Lady Wisdom, on the other hand, is offering this lavish banquet. The animal has been slaughtered. This wine, this mixed wine. You know, if you remember back to Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7, Lady Folly or the adulterous woman, what did we learn about the adulterous woman? And her lips drip with what? You remember? Lips drip with honey. And her lips are smoother, her words are smoother than oil. She is persuasive. She sounds good. She looks good. And she is offering you temporary pleasure. And it seems attractive. And otherwise, people wouldn't go there. But in reality, her lips that are dripping with honey turn out to be bitter as wormwood. It's poisonous. It's deadly. She's persuasive. She's plausible. She looks good, but in the end, she's wormwood. And if you look at this, but he, the one who responds to Lady Folly, does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Lady Wisdom offers sustenance, eternal benefits, while a foolish woman only offers temporary pleasure that end in hell. Now, some versions use the word Sheol. It could be translated the grave. And so, ultimately, to respond to Folly's invitation, what does it lead to? Destruction. Destruction at best. Hell at the worst. I'm going to go back to verses 7 through 9 and look at two instructions given by Lady Wisdom. And I'll try to explain this. I don't want you getting this wrong, but if you go back to verse 7, Lady Wisdom says, "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself." And this is where I go back to when I talked about the simple and naive are different than the scoffer and the wicked. And here Lady Wisdom says, invite the simple and the gullible. And then I'm going to put this up here. Maybe ignore isn't the best word. Ignore the scoffer and the wicked. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. But if you correct that scoffer, that wicked person, he's going to hate you. It says don't correct them. And here's the danger. At some point, does the simple and gullible become a scoffer in the wicked? You stay on that path and you become calloused. Our conscience becomes seared, and at some point, does not the simple and naive become the wicked and the scoffer? You know, I mentioned, let's go back to Matthew 7:6, and then I'll go elsewhere here. Matthew 7, verse 6. Jesus says this, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." I think that's very similar to what's being said in Proverbs 9. And then in our study in Matthew, or in Mark on Wednesday nights, Jesus told the disciples they were to go into towns, and if they rejected the gospel, they were to shake the dust off their sandals and go to the next town. And just to summarize Matthew 7:6, repeatedly sharing the gospel of someone who continually scoffs and ridicules Christ is like casting pearl before the swine. And I'm not saying we stop sharing the gospel. We're responsible to share the good news. We're not responsible for a person's response. But pigs don't really appreciate pearls. I'll give you a little illustration. So last Sunday, after church, I went home, I packed a bag, I went up and I preached Sunday night at Victory Baptist in Fort Francis, Ontario, in Pastor Shane Belding's church. And then the plan was to go from there up to the camp in Manaki. He wanted me to do some work in the kitchen up there. So I get to his house and he says, let's stay till Tuesday so we can fish. And I said, no, I got to be back on Tuesday. I said, "I we can't do it." So he has his boat ready and all his fishing gear out, thinking he's going to convince me to stay and fish. And I know, and I wanted to fish, but I was like, I need to be back Tuesday. And he kept prodding and prying, and so I said, I'll tell you what time are we going to get to camp? And he said, midnight. I said, all right, it's going to take 3 hours for me to do in the kitchen what you want me to do. And I had to bend some conduit, run some wire, and hook it up for a generator. I said, let's work from midnight to 3 a.m., and then we'll fish in the morning when it gets light. And so preached the message, got up there at midnight, went back in, hooked a generator up, turned some lights on, did it in 3 hours. We go fishing the next morning, but we needed bait, so we had to go into Menaki to get bait. And on the way in, he said, this woman is that runs a bait store, she's a meth addict. So we get there, there's a sign on the door that says, be back in 15 minutes. There's two people standing there waiting for bait. I said, how long have you been here? They said, 20 minutes. 10 minutes later, she shows up. And she says, sorry, I had to do a card reading. Reading these tarot cards or whatever they're called. And so I said, Shane said, oh, you're from the other side. You're from the dark side. And he said, we're pastors. And she, yep, I am, she said. Well, we roll into the gospel. These people are waiting for minnows. Well, we start sharing the gospel with her, and she, vulgar, and just foul mouth. And the more we shared the gospel, the worse she got. And she's going on giving explanations about how many extramarital affairs she had, and she's just getting worse and worse. And I said, listen, lady, do you believe in absolute truth? Is it wrong to lie and steal? She said, yeah. I said, who decides? And she sat there. I said, I'll tell you, God decides what's right and what's wrong. And I start going into the gospel again, and she started just cussing a blue streak and getting filthy, filthy mouth. And Shane said, Steve, I turned, he said, you're casting pearls before a swine. The more we gave the gospel, the worse she got. And there's people standing there. And so I think this is what is being said in Proverbs. And don't, and you try to give the gospel and there's this harsh resistance. I think that's what's being said. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. You know, we are, I think of invitations, and June 23rd, I don't know how many people know this, there's a gay pride event in Grand Rapids on June 23rd. And at this event, by the way, do you know who two of the biggest sponsors are of that event? The Presbyterian Church and the ELCA Church. That is a bunch of hogwash. And the YMCA as well. They are the main sponsors of this event. It's on their flyer. They're having a joint worship service after with the Seekers and Atheists and Wicca. Says it right on their flyer. Anyhow, at this event, you're going to have some simple and naive people. And they're getting an invitation from Lady Folly. Hey, come in here. And stolen water is sweet, bread offered in secret. And that's the invitation. And Folly is vying for their bodies. You're also at that event, there's going to be scoffers and mockers and those that just want to shred. They're looking for a fight with Christians and a lawsuit with Christians. You're going to have both at that event. And there's going to be some Christian people there. There's opportunity there to share truth with the simple and the gullible. And it isn't through holding a sign saying God hates gays and fighting back like that. It's It's by an invitation from Lady Wisdom. Listen, God loves you. Here's what he offers you. He's vying for your heart. And those who respond have life. Abundant life, eternal life. But there's going to be people there. There's going to be simple and naive. There's going to be the scoffer and the wicked. And an invitation goes out. So two invitations, two motivations. And then we have two outcomes. Wisdom's built her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She's slaughtered her meat. She's mixed her wine. She's furnished her table. She's sent out her maidens. She cries from the highest places of the city. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says, come eat my bread, drink of the wine I've mixed. Forsake foolishness and what? Did I put you all to sleep? Forsake foolishness and... well, a couple are awake. Forsake foolishness and live, right? When we accept God's wisdom, when we respond to the invitation of God's wisdom, we have what I've been referring to all through Proverbs as the good life. It doesn't mean it's a life of ease or without trouble, but I'll tell you what, how many can attest to the fact that when you follow God's path and you follow God's will, you follow God's way, is it not the abundant life? Isn't it the good life? Isn't there joy and blessing even if you have hardship? It's the good life, isn't it? Respond to me, accept my invitation and have the good life. Abundant life and eternal life. In November 1990, when Steve Berg put his faith in Jesus Christ alone for his salvation, he has eternal life. I have eternal life, not because of my own merit, but because of God's grace. I look forward to the glories of heaven. This world is not my home. Respond to Lady Wisdom. Come and eat of my bread, drink of the wine I've mixed, forsake foolishness and live. Go in the way of understanding. On the other hand, those who accept folly's invitation will die. He doesn't know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. They accept the invitation not knowing that there are countless others that respond to her temporary pleasure and pay a very high price as a result. As we've walked through Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7, the adulterous woman, think of the sexual immorality in our country. And Hollywood portrays this as great. And it's fun and it's fascinating and all this is, it's a horrible thing. Families are destroyed, there's financial ruin, all this happens. Kids' lives are left in the balance. It's a high price to answer folly's invitation. So what? What's the application today? You have received two invitations. And I earlier I mentioned that we receive more than one invitation in our lifetime, don't we? But we all have to make a decision. First of all, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it starts out with putting your faith in Christ. We all have a decision. You can either accept the gift of salvation or you can reject it. Jesus said, "On the way, the truth, and life, no man comes to the Father but by me." God sent his Son to die and pay the penalty for your sin and my sin because we're all sinners. And our sin separates us from God, and the only way to be right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. God's Word said it. And so we have this invitation for salvation. Are you going to put your faith in Christ? Or are you going to pay sin's penalty yourself in an eternity apart from Christ, in a real literal place called hell? But each day, you and I have invitations. You might get multiple invitations in a day. Am I going to respond to wisdom that comes from God, or am I going to respond to Lady Folly? I'm not even going to call her a lady. I'll just call her folly. We can receive multiple invitations in a day. You're sitting at home and a website pops up. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to look at it and pursue it? Or are you going to get out of there? You have two invitations. How are you going to respond? Maybe you're at work and some coworkers are inviting you places you shouldn't go or to do things you shouldn't do. How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond to folly or Lady Wisdom? Young people, you have choices to make every single day, and these choices are going to be a lifetime of choices. You're on that straight path, and a choice comes. What choice are you going to make? Is it going to be wisdom or folly? And the path that you take is going to either have benefits or consequences. In October 1997, 18-year-old William Booth is killed by gang members. William Booth lived in Grand Rapids. William Booth answered the invitation of folly and joined a gang. And I'm not justifying those that murdered William Booth, but he answered an invitation that he should have ignored. William Booth was on a straight path, maybe simple and naive, and he answered folly. It looked good. It looked appealing. It offered acceptance. And he ended up dead. May 30th, 2005, Natalie Holloway, an 18-year-old high school graduate, spent the evening in a bar in Aruba. Then she entered a car with three guys. Natalie's body has never been found. I'm not blaming Natalie for the murder. But she is simple and naive and responded to an invitation and went places she shouldn't have gone. The Gay Pride Festival, Grand Rapids, June 23rd, there's going to be scoffers, there'll be mockers there, they'll be simple, they'll be naive. By the way, the Y, I don't know if I mentioned that, but the YMCA is another sponsor of this. We have invitations every single day. What are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Who are you going to respond to, wisdom or folly? Are you going to respond to this? This is our instruction manual. If we follow this, we have the good life, don't we? But I'll tell you what, if you don't respond to this, if you do things your own way, it's miserable. I know by experience, it's never good when I follow my own way, my own path. You've received two invitations. Which invitation will you respond to? Folly or Lady Wisdom? Again, a warning here, the simple and naive that continue to reject the invitation of Lady Wisdom eventually become scoffers and mockers. The longer you go, it seems like the more your conscience is seared, and the harder it is, the more difficult it is to make the right decision. Respond to the invitation to God's wisdom. Verse 7, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. Respond to the correction from God's Word. Are you on the wrong path? Are you making wrong choices? Are you being swayed by folly? Are you being tempted because it looks good and everybody else is doing it? You know, Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges his sons. He chastens his sons. And if you're being spanked by God, it's a good thing. Respond to that spanking. Make the corrections. God wants to get you on the right path. So respond to the correction from God's Word and profit from the correction of God's Word. Enjoy the good life. And finally, accept personal responsibility. You have to respond to the invitation. You have to make a decision. You've got two invitations in the mail. Which one are you going to go to? Which one are you going to respond to? You can't do both. You can only go to one. And as you respond to that, it's your responsibility. It's your decision, and either the blessing or consequences is on you. You respond to folly, it's on you. I've responded to folly in the past, and it's no fun. It looks good, but it's temporary. It's temporary pleasure. You decide, and the consequences or benefits is on you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for your word, this reminder again of Lady Wisdom, the invitation. Lord, every single day we have decisions to make. You gave us a mind to use. You've given your word for us to follow. You've given the Spirit to guide and direct for believers. Perhaps there's some here that don't know you. They haven't even made the decision to put their faith and trust in Christ. I pray today that they would make that decision. But even, Lord, for us as believers, every single day we're faced with a decision, and we're reminded in Romans 7 that Paul did what he didn't want to do, and we see this battle, this conflict that goes on. Lord, may we choose wisdom that comes from you, because you deserve the honor and the glory and the praise, so that we can enjoy the benefits of the good life in responding to your wisdom. So Lord, we've been given the instruction. We all have responsibility to respond. And again, I just pray for myself and each one here that we wouldn't be scoffers, mockers, or stay on the simple and naive, but the right decision would be made, that we would honor you in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After a